Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
I don't come with any sense of boldness or confidence. I know the only thing that can make a difference in your life is the Holy Spirit quickening the Word in your heart. Much that I've done through my life, I have done by the sheer dint of personality and persistence and hard work. But I know that all of that persistence, hard work, has done nothing for eternity. In fact, it stood in the way of eternity. I know the only thing that matters for eternity is what the Holy Spirit speaks. And so I ask tonight that the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart and set it ablaze. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now, there is an organic work of judgment that God brings on the life of a person. I have seen men and women sinning boldly against God. And then they have faced a crisis, and they have prayed, and God has delivered them. I've seen men and women walking in ungodliness and in sin, and they haven't even prayed and they got delivered. I've watched as God has made the rain fall on the wicked and the righteous. You watch as those who are walking in sin against God prosper in their businesses. The work of judgment is organic. What do I mean by organic? I take my sunflower seeds, I plant them in the soil, I water them. 10 days later, I have a little sunflower plant popping up. I wish you could come to my home this evening and see my sunflower tonight. It's about 8 feet tall with a sunflower like that, glorious before the Lord. Well, that sunflower did not start out 8 feet tall with a glorious flower on it. It started as a little seed that I put in the soil and watered. Wickedness does not bring judgment until it's grown up, until it's been watered, until it's been given an opportunity. And God has given us all of our lives to allow this to grow up. So righteousness is a work that is organic. Wickedness is also a work that is organic. That's why I could not let this song be sung tonight as it was. I'm not going to confess something that is false. My heart is not wandering from the Lord. Because you see, when the sunflower is 8 feet tall and there's a head on it, the wind blows and that sunflower can get knocked down. I don't dare confess something that is false. The wind will knock me down. Judgment will be fulfilled on my life. Right now, each of you in this house are at some place in that organic process of God looking at your life and making judgments about you for eternity. You may be only 3 inches tall now, but watch, that wickedness can grow to 8 feet tall, and then the judgment of God blows on you and you're knocked down and you're in the grave, ready to face the second death. To all men, it's given to die once and then to face the judgment. And after the judgment, many will die again for eternity. It's not the first death we have to fear. It's the second death we have to fear. And I hear people saying, "Oh, I'm ready to die. God, why don't you just take me today?" I never say that because God might do it. Am I ready to face the second death? The first death, not a problem. We can all die. In a moment, we can be dead. The car hits us. The attack of the enemy takes our heart out and we're gone. There's a searing moment perhaps, but we're gone. Oh, but the second death, that's for eternity. It's the second death I fear. So this organic work of judgment, I'd like to show you from the scriptures. The story of King Ahab found in 1 Kings. We started earlier, and let's review quickly, chapter 20. Ben-Hadad, the king of the Arameans, comes against Israel. And as this king comes against Israel, the Lord sends a prophet to Ahab and says, "The Lord is going to give this vast army into your hand so that you will know I am the Lord." They go to war. Israel successfully defeats the Arameans. And the Lord sends another prophet and says, "Get ready. Next spring, the Arameans are going to come again." And now he has all winter to grow in wickedness or to grow in righteousness. God gives us time to make decisions about what we're going to do regarding this organic work of judgment. The Arameans come back, and this time the Lord says, "I'm going to give them into your hand because of what the Arameans think about me." 1 Kings 20, verse 28. You notice it does not say, "I'm going to give the Arameans into your hand because over the winter you decided that I was the Lord God of heaven, and you've humbled your heart before me, and you've repented of your wickedness." Ahab had not repented. He was growing organically toward judgment. Then he makes a compact with the king of the Arameans. He lets Ben-Hadad go. And God says, "I wanted that man dead. I wanted you to kill that man. And instead you've released him, so it's his life for your life. It's his people for your people." The organic work of judgment against Israel was proceeding. Now, as of yet, the judgment did not fall. And tonight, you may be sitting in this room, and you have had enough to eat today, and you're not in any body pain. You feel quite comfortable. You look around at the reality of your life, and you have a job, perhaps. You have a family. Things are going your way. That does not speak about tomorrow. For tomorrow may be the day when the organic work of judgment reaches its climax in your life. And if it reaches its climax and you are found wicked before the Lord, you will face the second death. He next, totally disregarding the organic work of judgment, turns toward a vegetable garden. Isn't that so much like the human heart? Totally unaware that the God of heaven is making eternal decisions regarding his soul. And his interest is in stealing a vineyard so he can have a vegetable garden. Have your eyes been on things that are not of any eternal import? While God is making decisions about your soul for eternity. Oh, I think I'll listen to that program, or I'll watch that, or I'll go eat this, or I'll have that, thank you. Just like Ahab, I'll have my vegetable garden there. And while we're in this foolish process of just consuming what we desire, we're totally unconscious that in another realm there is a majestic being who examines the heart of every man and reads the motive of every person, who is making decisions about you. And I know, I want to think nobody sees me. This is reality. I have my life. I'm going to live forever. Tomorrow will be like today, except tomorrow will be a better day. Not recognizing that the God of heaven has been looking down into your soul and reading the desires of your heart and is making decisions about where you will spend eternity. Oh, I think it's up to me. Thank you, I'll take the cruise. Yeah, I'd like that vacation. I'd like that job. I'd like this. Thank you. Go in the restaurant and sit down and the waitress comes. I'll have this, thank you. I'll have that, thank you. We think we can go to God and say, I'll have that mansion, thank you. I'll live on that street. Would you please put my brother John beside me? We'd like to have some time to play. Just to enjoy heaven. No, we're not the ones who are making the decisions. God is making the decisions about where we spend eternity. There is no room for slipping and sliding, because our thoughts are not private. Did you realize your thoughts are being broadcast and recorded for eternity? And if you are in the second death, someone here in this room may get curious and say, Lord, could I go in the video center today and could I look at so-and-so's life so I would know why they are not here? I believe that all of those who end up in hell, the saints will spend 1,000 years looking at and studying the lives of these men and women so that we can say, Lord, you are just in your judgment. There is no such thing as privacy before the God of heaven. All of your thoughts are open tonight to the angels of God. The watchers are recording what you are saying and doing and what you are thinking. After King Ahab has Naboth, a righteous man, killed, Elijah comes. He says in 1 Kings 21, verse 20, Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me, my enemy. Oh, what would you say if you met Elijah? Would you embrace him and say, Elijah, my brother, I have prayed like you prayed. I have joined with the God of heaven in covenanting to pray for judgment unto repentance for my nation. I've prayed that the rain would stop. Would you be a brother of Elijah tonight? Or would you say, oh, you found me, my enemy. What do you have to say to me? Now, I know how some of you are going to respond to him, because I know how some of you respond to me when I rebuke you for sin. You give me that dance. Oh, I'm doing my best, Pastor Ray. I'm trying hard, Pastor Ray. You know, it just takes me some time. I don't think so. I have found you, Elijah answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. Total destruction is being prophesied over the house of Ahab because the organic work of judgment is almost finished in his life. Chapter 22, the organic work of judgment begins to reach a final conclusion. There are 3 years of complete peace in the land. This is God's final call for Ahab to repent. God's final call to your life is always kindness and mercy. God's last call is never fire. That's his first call. God wants to know in the final call, will you settle into your comfort and reject his kindness and refuse to repent? Go back to sleep. If you do, in your comfort, you'll be carried to hell. I don't know if that's terrifying for you, but that is for me. Something begins to grow in Ahab's heart. He's had 3 years of peace. He has an ego because he's now beginning to claim that it was his military expertise that defeated the Armenians. And he says, remember Ramoth Gilead? And let's go take it back from the king of Aram, the king of the Armenians. We've taken him twice. We can do it. So he asks his friend Jehoshaphat, a man who is the king of Judah, a man who should be walking in righteousness, but who made an alliance with Ahab by marriage. Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead? Will you bring your soldiers? And Jehoshaphat replies to the king of Israel, I am as you are. What? What kind of theology is that? Ahab is an utterly wicked man under the judgment of God. And this righteous king, Jehoshaphat, says, I'm just like you. We're brothers. I mean, that's like the song we were singing tonight saying, my heart is always wandering. I refuse to say my heart is always wandering. My heart is never wandering again. It is given over to Jesus Christ. I am sold out for Jesus. I am going for eternity. But this king says, I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horses. As though they were his people and his horses. They were God's horses and they were God's people. But he's taken ownership of them. Jehoshaphat is also organically growing toward judgment. Jehoshaphat says, first seek the counsel of the Lord. So the prophets are all called together and they all say of one accord, yes, go. You can take the Armenians again. God will give them into your hand. Jehoshaphat doesn't trust all of these prophets. They're prophets of Baal. He says, isn't there a man of God here? A prophet of God who can give you a true word? Yes, there is, but he always prophesies bad things about me. Do you know, I actually have people say, Pastor Ray, why do you always preach doom and gloom? Why do you always preach bad news? I only preach bad news for the sinner who's in rebellion against the Most High. I preach good news to the righteous, to those who are willing to grow in righteousness. So you decide whether it's good news or bad news, and you will expose your heart, and you will expose the organic work of judgment that God is doing in your heart. So they're dressed in their royal robes and they're sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor. That was a popular guy place. Zedekiah the prophet, this is what the Lord says. With these, you will gore the Armenians until they are destroyed. So they say to this man of God, this classic statement in verse 13, this is 1 Kings 22:13. The messenger who had gone to summon Micah said to him, look, as one man, the prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. In other words, preacher, you only preach prosperity. You preach success. You preach blessings. You agree with all the other preachers. And so he arrived and he's asked, and he said, attack and be victorious. The Lord will give it into the king's hand. And Ahab knows better. Now I want you to get this. Ahab knew better. How did he know better? Because he knew the truth from Mount Carmel. He knew the truth from the first attack of the Armenians. He knew the truth from the second attack of the Armenians. He didn't want to face the truth, but he knew the truth. He says to the prophet, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Now, please, I want you to understand tonight, Ahab understood theology. But he was organically growing toward the judgment. He wanted his own way. And he thought he could have it one more time. Now, I almost entitled this sermon tonight, The Gap Dragon. You know what the gap dragon is? Where you go to the well one time too many. And the well is dry. Because you thought you had an endless supply of grace. You thought you could always go back one more time. Lord, forgive me one more time. And the Lord said, no. It's over, Ahab. The prophet answers, in verse 17, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. Now the prophet is telling him, if you do this, if you attack the Armenians, you will die. The king of Israel says to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? How can a prophet be prophesying something bad when he tells you, if you take that course of action, you will die? I would think that would be wonderful news that he's trying to save his life. It's all in how you view it. You want to turn that pornography on one more time? You've gotten away with it time after time. One time, a demon spirit will enter you and sweep you away to hell. There are sins in people's lives that are domesticated sins. Pride, arrogance, self-importance, freedom to participate in the pleasures of the world, a lust for money, a lust for pornography, a lust for pleasure, a lust to have my way, domesticated pets, traits. We like to pet them. But these escape us. And they bring filth to our lives. This is what happened in Ahab's life. He knows better. But he wants to go take Ramoth-Gilead back because he lusts for the power. Verse 34. Someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, "Wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded." All day long the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Armenians. The blood from his wound ran onto the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. As the sun was setting, a cry spread throughout the army, every man to his town, every man to his land. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him there. They washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathed. And the dogs licked up his blood, as the word of the Lord had declared. Tonight, at what stage is the organic work of judgment in your life? And will you, like Ahab, determine that you will have your own way and you will control your own destiny? Then you are on your way to that day of judgment that may come tonight or tomorrow. Or God in his kindness may allow you to continue until that wickedness is full grown in your heart. Or tonight is righteousness growing in your heart. Humbleness of heart, submission to Jesus, earnestly seeking after the Lord, hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Is Jesus enough for you? Will you seek Jesus and Jesus alone? Or do you have to have Ramoth-Gilead? Do you have to have all of these things over here that you think will make you happy? Or is Jesus enough for you? Are you willing to give up your dreams? Are you willing to give up your ambitions? Are you willing to give up your way and humble your heart before God and say, "Lord God, could I have your way?"
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and His holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. That number again, 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience His joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.